kingdom, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The sentence for this 24th Sunday after Pentecost. God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other. Let us pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, confident in God's forgiveness. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge,
we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
and in what we have failed to do.
We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves.
We repent and are sorry for all our sins.
Father, forgive us.
Strengthen us to love and obey you in the newness of life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, who has promised forgiveness to all who turn to God in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in your goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Tumults of this world, knowing that your kingdom shall come and your will be done to your eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's be seated for the readings.
Judges chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after the people died. So the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly for 20 years. At that time, Deborah, prophetess, wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take your position at Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon, with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. The Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kadesh. Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 warriors went up behind him, and Deborah went up with him. Hear the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
We say Psalm 123 together. To you I lift up my eyes, you who are enthroned in the heavens, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, or as the eyes of a maid toward the hand of her mistress. So our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he show us his mercy. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we have had our fill of derision. Our souls overflow with the mockery of those at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
New Testament reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 1 to 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another to build up each other, as indeed you are doing. Hear the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Stand for the reading from the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, chapter 25, commencing at verse 14. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the two talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me two talents. See, I have made two more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Here we are. Here we are. After so many months, St. John's can finally open its doors. And how cool is this, to be gathered in this church again. It's great to see all the lights on and the windows open and the doors open. Thanks be to God. Welcome this morning if you're here in person, socially distanced, masks on, hands sanitized. Welcome to you who are watching on Zoom, and welcome to you if you will watch this a little later on YouTube. And to those who may already have read this brief reflection on paper, welcome. This church, which has stood as a beacon of Christian faith for over 160 years, has sorely missed you, and I'm sure so many of you have missed your church. Welcome. What an absolute joy it was during the week to remove the signs on the doors that have said closed until further notice for so long. The next few weeks will see a gradual and safe reopening. Some will want to attend church in person, and some will want to wait until the church can take a few more people. Some may still feel vulnerable, understandably enough, and wish to continue to watch services online. Or for others, simply to read the pew sheets and sermons which are posted out each week is enough for now. No matter how you intend to worship God over the next few weeks or months, your church is taking small but joyful steps to be open to anyone. Welcome. On the 23rd of March, our church doors, along with the doors of our synagogues, mosques, gurdwaras and temples, were shut. Windows were closed, and the elements we used for communion were put away in the safe. Hymn books, Bibles and everything else that could inadvertently spread the virus were put away. It was painful for everyone, and I don't think we had any idea back then what would unfold for us and our world. It's impossible to grasp what individuals and families have endured, some perhaps not so much, but others to a devastating degree. It'll take a long time indeed for many to heal from what's happened this year. This is a time to keep praying for our world and those in our local community who continue to suffer. And it's a time to keep on loving our neighbour by wearing masks and protecting the vulnerable. But here we are. Here we are. Through the tireless work of government leaders and medics and so many other people, this virus is under control in Victoria. And it's an optimistic sign that businesses that have survived are gradually reopening. Children are back in the playground, borders are opening up, and finally, finally, families are reuniting. There is so much to thank God for. We thank God that over the past many months, this church, sadly closed to most, has been a place of solace for grieving families farewelling loved ones, young people or older people, those who died after a long illness or those who died suddenly. It's been a holy place that has enveloped a tiny handful of people who'd normally huddle together for mutual support, but who had to be separated out along the pews. But even then, this church has been a place of God's love and comfort. In ways we couldn't have imagined at the start of the year, this church has remained a place of prayer and of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We thank God, don't we? We thank God for technology, which has allowed for the sharing of the truth and grace of Jesus through our recorded services and of recent months via Zoom. We thank God for the technology that allowed people on Zoom to gather afterwards to socialise just for a few minutes. We thank God for our director of music, Christopher Cook, who has recorded stunning pieces faithfully, week after week and month after month, to bring that music to us. We thank God for our vicar's unstinting leadership and wise service, and the work of the parish council throughout all of these months. And we thank God for you. Thank God for you. Whilst it's great to say welcome back to church, and isn't that a great sound? Welcome back to church. In truth, the church has never closed. Really, the church is not this beautiful building, greatly treasured though it is. I can almost hear the walls laugh with joy this morning, but in the end, perhaps, the church is not this building. The church is people. In homes near and far, the church has been alive and well, you and others, praying for each other and our world, being God's love in action in the midst of your own personal concerns and worries, being the body of Christ by serving your neighbour in whatever way possible and which continues on. God doesn't dwell in a tent or a temple or, dare I say, even this church. God is the endless indwelling in each human being, transforming hearts and transforming lives. Yet it's also true that the faithful have always gathered together right from the outset 2,000 years ago. And this is what we've missed and which we celebrate today as we reopen. When we began our Zoom services, and those of you who are watching on Zoom at the moment, there was much rejoicing, because even though via a screen, many were and still are in each other's presence and worshipping together. The early church, which we read about in Paul's letter to Thessalonians this morning, probably the very first written document of the New Testament, the early church didn't have a church as we know it. But what sustained them was their gathering together to pray. Their gathering together to work out how to be a little more like Jesus in the way they lived their lives, to declare to and share with others their faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They did this together. Paul says to the good folk of Thessalonica, encourage one another and build up each other. And this is best done in community, usually in the church. So whilst the building isn't of itself the most important thing, whether it's a school hall or a tiny wooden building in the back of beyond, a cathedral, or this lovely church here in Tura, we are strengthened by gathering in a space made holy by the worship of God. The language of a church, the language of a church space helps us articulate who we are, what we believe, and how we make sense of life. Countless thousands have flocked to this church, the great and the small, the poor and the rich, the uneducated and the educated, the newly released prisoner and lofty governors general and prime ministers, and you. All have come to be refreshed yet again by God's endless mercy and grace and God's love and truth. People wander in off the street or the tram to find healing here, quiet time, space to get away from things, to look around in wonder, or to simply be. The doors of a church being open is a tangible sign of God's saying welcome to anyone and everyone. And church. Church is where Christians partake of that most precious of meals, Holy Communion, or the Eucharist, Thanksgiving, when we remember and profess again the mystery of our faith, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. In the partaking of this sacrament, we are transformed to go out and live lives we're called to live in the service of others, in honouring God, and in always looking to Christ our Saviour. This is the climax of living. So welcome, welcome. The doors are open again, thanks be to God, and the people of God can gradually safely gather again to worship and praise God together. Welcome to anyone and everyone, and this morning to you. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let's stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten and not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the world and for the church.
Merciful God, we pray for many people who have contracted coronavirus in the world. Bring comfort to those loved ones whose loved ones have died, and peace to the worried, fearful, uncertain as the virus spreads. We also pray for governments and authorities who are developing strategies to contain and to deal with it, and those in health services who are risking their lives in the care of sick people. Here in Melbourne, and especially here in Toorak, we pray for the virus situation and the procedures that have been put into force to halt its spread. Help us all to be responsible in the things we do in our lives to prevent the spread by taking heed of the recommendations, precautions, and avoiding situations which make things worse. Loving God, we offer our prayers now for all people and their situations, for lives that are going through upheaval or distress, the circumstances which only you can change. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the church throughout the world, remembering those Christians in countries where their beliefs make them vulnerable and in danger. Uphold and strengthen all who are persecuted for their faith. We pray for hostages and their families and loved ones from whom they are separated. We give thanks for this church here at St. John's, for Peter and Kyron. May we point the way to God's kingdom in our community and welcome all those who are seeking you and coming through our doors. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for peace in the world, for understanding between nations, religions and factions, and for an end to old scores which remain unsettled. Pray for the people of the Middle East, that they may live alongside one another in mutual respect and harmony. We pray too for fair shares and fair trade, and that the talents of all workers in the world be fairly rewarded. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we pray for the United States of America and ask that you would give the new president-elect wisdom beyond his own understanding and courage to choose the right path, no matter how narrow the gate, especially in difficult times and an ongoing pandemic. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Father God, we thank you for the gifts, talents, and abilities that you have given each of us, for praying and a deep understanding of those talents that can be used and shared within our church. Set us free. Set us free from the fear that makes us inward-looking. Give us a rewarding generosity with our time, our talents, and our treasures. Give us renewed concern for those who are struggling in our own congregation and our own community. Give us a renewed vision of what it is to be in your church, in this place at this time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgiving Father, send your healing forgiveness to all who are suffering with feelings of guilt, shame, or regret. Help to mend broken relationships. Be with those who feel through advancing years or frailing health that they cannot enjoy life as it used to be. May those who are learning to live in a new pattern of life because they feel that life is passing them by, help them as well. We pray especially for the sick and the suffering in our community and those listed in our view sheet. Give them your help and love on their road to recovery. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, remember those who have died and those who are bereaved. May the light of Christ, which shines and brings hope, shine in dark places for them and help them in their suffering. We pray especially for those whose anniversaries of death fall on this time and are listed in today's pew sheet. Almighty God, you have promised to hear our prayers. Grant that what we have asked in faith, we may
by your grace receive, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Stand for the breach of peace. We are the body of Christ. Peace of the Lord be always with you.
Always with you.
We share with each other at a safe distance, a sign of God's peace. Seat just for the notices. What a great joy it is to have you back. How absolutely lovely. We're short in number but large in faith, and delighted to be sitting on masking tape squares and crosses in our beautiful church. But so lovely to have you back. I know so many of our neighbours were very much looking forward to hearing the church bells this morning, and I was delighted to hear them. So thank you, Jenny. Thank you very much. There are a few notices, and you would see a few changes, obviously, to the physicality of the church. My hope is over the next sort of few months that they're going to decrease as time marches on and the restrictions lessen. But just for the time being, do keep an eye out and encourage each other and see the positive in this situation. It's so lovely to be back here. If we need to deal with a few blue ribbons and crosses on seats, then so be it. The advantages far outweigh the disadvantages. Some important notices. On the 28th of November is Dear Kyron's ordination to the priesthood, and because of the COVID situation this year, all of the deacons being made priests are going to be ordained in their individual parishes, which means that Kyron will be ordained here at St John's at 10 a.m. on Saturday the 28th of October. Now, the last time there was an ordination here was in 1983, the ordination of Gary Baumer, who was then assistant curate. So there's been a little bit of a gap of time, only 37 years, which is a short time really in the life of a church. But Kyron, we're so delighted, and it's going to be a wonderful occasion here with the Archbishop and your good self, of course. Our prayers are with you and our blessings are upon you. What I don't know at the moment, because of the changing restrictions that we expect next week, is how many people can come. At the moment, it'll just be 20, but we're hoping that there'll be an increase. So just keep an eye out on the pew sheet to see how many people can come, and if more people can come, then you just call and book ahead and join in the celebration. Then the next day, on the 29th of November, the excitement continues with the parish annual meeting. The meeting will be after the 10 o'clock service, but will be on Zoom. Because we just can't handle the logistics at the moment of this sort of in-between space of some people being here and some people on Zoom. So the whole meeting will be on Zoom, the link will go out to you, and it's hugely important that you actually log on and attend, because otherwise we don't get a quorum, and if we don't get a quorum, we can't do our business. So Jess Hall, newly appointed treasurer, is vigorously nodding her head right now. We need to pass important business like our budget for the year, for example. So please, 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 please put that in your diary and log on the 20, on the 29th. You'll see a few changes in the body of the church. One of the changes, because of the COVID restrictions, is there won't be a collection. That doesn't mean you get off scot-free, unfortunately. There is a retiring collection there, and there's also the new pay point there, which I can attest to personally. It takes $20 out of your wallet incredibly quickly, which is wonderful. So please make your gift there rather than the collection coming around. And when you come up to communion will be celebrated, as you will see a little note in the pew sheet, will be celebrated in one kind, that is just the bread. I will be the only person touching it. I will have my hands sanitized, and of course we won't serve wine until we are allowed to do so. Please come forward and just stay a meter and a half apart at the communion rail. I didn't put crosses down on the cushion because I think you can work that out. Again, welcome back. So lovely to see you. Won't invite you to morning tea because there isn't one, because we can't have one, but look forward to seeing you both during and after the service. Welcome back.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. All glory and honour be yours always and everywhere, mighty Creator and ever-living God. We give you thanks and praise for our Saviour Jesus Christ, who by the power of your Spirit was born of Mary and lived as one of us. By his death on the cross and rising to new life, he offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtained an eternal deliverance for his people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. We pray that by your word and Holy Spirit, we who eat and drink them may be partakers of Christ's body and blood. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Claiming his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming again, we celebrate with this bread and this cup his one perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Renew us by your Holy Spirit, unite us in the body of your Son, and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom and in whom, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father, in songs of never-ending praise. Sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to this supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Gracious God, we thank you that in this sacrament you assure us of your goodness and love. Accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and help us to grow in love and obedience, that we may serve you in the world, and finally be brought to that table where all your saints feast with you forever. Father, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work your praise and glory. God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and upon those whom you love, this day and always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.